From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On today's broadcast, we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Follow to Know. The text is found in Hosea chapter 6 and verse 3. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. Not all at once, but by degrees shall we attain to holy knowledge. And our business is to persevere and learn by little and little. We need not despair, though our progress may be slow, for we shall yet know. The Lord, who has become our teacher, will not give us up, however slow of understanding we may be. For it is not for His honor that any degree of human folly should baffle His skill. The Lord delights to make the simple wise. Our duty is to keep to our main topic and follow on to know, not this particular doctrine or that, but Jehovah Himself. To know Father, Son, and Spirit, the triune God, this is life eternal. Let us keep to this, for in this way we shall gain complete instruction. By following on to know the Lord, we learn healing after being torn, binding up after smiting, and life after death. Experience has its perfect work when the heart follows the trackway of the Almighty Lord. My soul, keep thou close to Jesus. Follow on to know God in Jesus. And so shalt thou come to the knowledge of Christ, which is the most excellent of all the sciences. The Holy Ghost will lead thee into all truth. Is not this His gracious office? Rely upon Him to fulfill it.
Love, where is home if not for heaven?
If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called The Elements, Ends, and Effects of the Gospel, an examination of chapter 3, verses 23 through 31. As we've seen, salvation is by grace. It is a gift, and it is by blood. These are its indispensable elements. In verses 24 and 25, we find certain marks of the gospel. First, it glorifies God, not man. Also, it satisfies divine justice, for Christ is set forth as a propitiation, that which puts away God's wrath, and because of this, it magnifies the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the gospel justifies sinners, declaring them righteous in God's sight because of Christ's work on the cross. The end of the gospel is to declare God's righteousness. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message, The Elements, Ends, and Effects of the Gospel.
Here's a big subject all on its own. Titus 2:14, for example. He gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. There's one purpose for the death of Christ. Galatians chapter 1 verse 4 tells us another, that the Lord Jesus gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from the present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Ephesians 2 verse 16 gives us yet another purpose, And it was that he might reconcile both Jews and Gentiles unto God in one body by the cross. You could go through the New Testament. Here are the ends, the objectives of the gospel. But now in Romans 3, 25 and 26, Paul gives us another objective, and it is to declare God's righteousness. Now that's very easily said, but here's a big question. What does it mean? You've heard me say that again and again through these verses. What does it mean? I think we read with blinders and blinkers on, and we accept, we understand it, but do we really? To declare his righteousness. The usual answer is, well, I should say there are two kinds of righteousness. There's the justice of God, what some call a judging righteousness, and then there's the righteousness which he has provided to justify us. That's a saving righteousness. So which is it here? Most commentators say it's judging righteousness. It's the justice of God. God declares his justice. And certainly that's a great truth. If that's the meaning, then this text tells us three things. Talks about Christ's sacrifice satisfying divine justice. That's a great truth. Jehovah took the sword of justice and he buried it in Jesus Christ. And for us, that sword is sheathed forever. Bless God, he satisfied divine justice. But then this text, in this view, talks about the demonstration of divine justice. Here's a very difficult thing in verse 25. Declaring his righteousness for the remission. The word is pretermission, or the passing over of sins that are past. And the usual commentary in the commentators is that this is referring to the Old Testament period when God winked at the depravity of the Gentile nations and he didn't visit judgment upon them. He wasn't forgiving them, he was just passing over them. And the argument is here, he's saying the cross of Christ vindicates his justice. Demonstrates it and vindicates it. There's a lot of truth in all that, but I must say that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I believe that he's talking about righteousness here as he's been talking about it throughout. This is the righteousness of Christ. This is the righteousness that God provides to justify us. And he's declaring that saving righteousness for the remission or with respect to or on account of, but with respect to the remission of sins that are past. Whatever way you look at it, this righteousness is leading to remission. I know the word is not the usual word for forgiveness, that it means passing over. And I'm told that God could pass over your sins for a while and he could then judge you. But how does that tie into the cross of Christ if the people in the Old Testament were already in hell? How is the cross of Christ in any way demonstrating the righteousness of God? God could damn sinners and display his righteousness in doing so without any reference to the cross. Remission is a very good translation, actually. You remember in Micah chapter 7, who is a pardoning God like thee? Who is like unto thee a God that pardons iniquity? How does he define pardon? That passes by. That's the very thought here. That passes by the sins of his people. What Paul is saying is a glorious thing. Look, in the Old Testament, God did not visit people with judgment, even though Christ had not died. He did not visit them with judgment. Now, how could God be just and not visit judgment on all those sinners? Because Christ was going to die, and he did die ultimately. God had a redeemed people in the Old Testament. God had a justified people in the Old Testament. How were they justified? Same way as you are. On what merit were they justified? On the same merit as you are, the merits of the blood of Jesus Christ. So that when God saved them, as the cross proved, he did it justly. But you know, when you look at this, don't think only of the sins of the Old Testament believers. Think of your own sins. How old were you when you were saved? Some of you will say, I was 5. You had 5 years of sin. Why did God not damn you? Some of you would say, I was saved when I was 50. So you had 50 years of sin. Why did God not damn you? Is he not a righteous God? How can a righteous God possibly allow all this sin to go on and on and on and on? How can he do it? He declares and demonstrates and vindicates his righteousness by pointing to the cross. Jesus paid it all. Jesus merited every grace and every gift for all his people from the beginning of time to the end of time. God says, I can be just and justly justify the ungodly. To us, that would be impossible. But God says, look at Christ. And there's my answer. Finally, the effects of this gospel, with this, from verse 27 to 31, we'll close. This gospel effects are seen as Paul sounds 4 wonderful notes. First, in verse 27, a note of exclusion. It excludes all boasting. Remember, as a young fellow in business, I don't want you to think that I was any business tycoon. I was the lowest notch on a totem pole that itself was so low that nobody would have ever noticed it existed. But part of my job was to go around and liaise between our insurance brokerage and our biggest client, a big transport authority in Ulster. And I found there a lady, a very kind, helpful, middle-aged lady, very religious. She would be in church 2 or 3 times every Lord's Day. Very upright, very honest, but very, very, very dark when it came to the gospel. I was an 18-19-year-old, and I remember going in to talk to her, getting rid of her business, and then seeking to give her the gospel. When I told her that I was saved, she looked at me in horror. She said, how can you say that? That is so presumptuous. Sounds so arrogant that any person can actually say, not I'm hoping to be saved, or I'm working to be saved, or I'm looking to be saved, but I am saved. Sounded like boasting. And you see, in her religion, it would have been boasting, because she only knew one way whereby she hoped to get to heaven, and that was the way that she was working. She was doing her best to get to heaven. And it would have been boasting if she had said, I have made it. Where is boasting? There's no ground for boasting. I'm a sinner. As I said this morning, if God ever gave me 1/1,000,000th part of what I deserve, I would long ago have been in hell. That's all there is to it. I'm a sinner. And I deserve nothing from God but the wrath of God against me. But God is rich in mercy. And because of his grace, and his love wherewith he loved us. When I was dead, he came and quickened me. When I was guilty, he came and justified me. When I was alienated, he came and reconciled me. He took his own dear son and he put him in my place, that he lived for me, fulfilling the law in my place, weaving with his obedience a robe of spotless white with which to clothe me. He shed his blood to put out the fire of divine wrath and pay the penalty of a broken law, to wash away my sin, so that I have a perfect Savior, a perfect righteousness, a perfect Christ. I'm saved. But there's no boasting except in him. God forbid, said Paul, that I should glory or that I should boast except in the cross. As Lloyd-Jones used to preach, Christians should be boastful. We should be boasting. The trouble with too many of us is we're button-lipped. We're afraid to boast. Boast as long as you're boasting about Christ. Thank God, he's worth exalting. So here's a note of exclusion. There's no boasting. What law excludes you from boasting? The law of works? No. If you can earn your way to heaven, you have a right to boast about it. But if you can't earn your way to heaven, you have no right to boast about it. It's excluded by the law of faith. Now, what on earth is the law of faith? Is that not a contradiction in terms? The law of faith. What is it? Some people think it's a description of the gospel, the same as in chapter 8, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's a roundabout way of saying the gospel. Might be the same here. The gospel stops you boasting. Some people believe it's the law of Moses, the moral law, viewed in its proper perspective, not as a way of salvation by works, but as a way of leading us to faith in Jesus Christ. And when you see the law of Moses as a convicting agent to point you to Christ and his righteousness, then that law excludes all boasting. Some people see the word law simply meaning as principle. The principle of faith alone stops you boasting. Whatever the answer, here's a note of exclusion. No boasting. What I said this morning is true and we ought never to forget it. Christ warned his disciples against pride. Pride of grace, pride of success, pride of any kind is ruinous. If you're saved tonight, it's not because you deserved it, but because Christ deserved it for you. Then there's a note of conclusion. Verse 28. I love this verse because the Council of Trent almost quoted it to condemn it. That's why I know that Romanism is not the gospel. We conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. That's it. That's the conclusion. Paul is saying, now have you followed me from chapter 1 right through? Have you learned about human depravity? Have you learned about God's wrath? Have you learned about God's curse? Have you seen God bring the whole world and pronounce it guilty? And under his curse and wrath, have you listened to me as I've explained the gospel, as I have expounded the way of life? Now, if you've understood all that, here's the conclusion. We're justified by faith without works. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. That's it. I'm naked, but I look to thee for dress. I'm guilty, but I look to thee for grace. I cling to Christ alone. That's Paul's conclusion. Thank you.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.